Alrighty, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Friday, and we're well into January now. In fact, we're almost on the cusp of February, which I know is Ben's favorite month. Ben, obviously, you love February because February is Black History Month, which is very important to you. There we go.
Yeah, it is. It's the month that we're all going to walk into.
Is that what the hoodie's for?
Yeah, I'm preempting it.
Simpiwe is here, Ben is here, and later on, Gord Laws will be joining me here in Cape Town. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to get a word in edgewise, but I'll try. So all of that's coming up, and we've got loads of stuff to talk about. We've got some sport. Huh?
You're not wrong.
Mm-mm. No, Gord. Jeez, when Gord talks, everyone has to shut up. So it's been an interesting couple of days. We've had like a proper business strategy. You know, I'm still getting into the idea of having all these different business interests and how they all work and kind of managing people and figuring out processes. And, you know, there's stuff that is completely foreign to me that I'm working out for the first time. And I have to tell you, I'm actually really enjoying it. I thought this stuff would drive me crazy and I'd hate it, but I'm not. I'm finding it fascinating.
But this is how you stay young, hey Cliff, because now you're making your brain work in different kind of ways.
Well, you say that, but I saw a friend of mine yesterday. He actually, I didn't know, but we're booked into this hotel in Cape Town, which is quite close to the place that we're meeting. And it turns out this is his building. Turns out that he came up with the concept for this hotel, and the guy is absolutely, he's just like fucking successful beyond belief. And I knew him maybe 15 years ago. I met him in Durban. He's married, he's got a daughter, he's got this little funny looking dog. He lives down here. He's opened up various versions of this place all over the country, and he's busy. He's about to open like a whole thing in San Francisco. The guy's really fucking kicking ass and taking numbers. I'm so impressed with him.
Amazing. It's always great hearing those stories, huh?
Yeah, well, the reason I tell the story about Murray is that I saw him here yesterday while I was sitting with two of our guys from the meetings that we're in. And I was having a coffee, and this guy comes out, and I'm like, shit, Murray, how the hell are you? So we start talking, and then someone says, oh, we must take a picture. So I take a picture, and I looked at myself in it, and I thought, Jesus, you look fucking old. Simpiwe, don't you laugh too hard. You're still the youngest on this show.
For now. I'm turning 30 this year, so going downhill.
Sims. Hey, at least unlike Ben and I, you've now produced progeny, so you can talk about like things that we could never discuss on the show before. Like you can bring in motherhood and how it feels to have kids and what that means for the world and all that shit. I mean, like it's a big deal.
I know.
You have no idea how much you balance us.
Mm-hmm.
But now
in every way.
He's like, oh, my baby and my kid. And I read this and I did this. And, oh.
I know. It's beautiful, man. All right. So there's a whole weekend ahead of us. And I know that we'll get to some sport later on with Ben. We've got so much to talk about. I see that the fires are still going on in LA. What an absolute fucking mess that is. I can't imagine. I even found myself feeling sorry for some celebrities that I don't care about at all. Not because they're celebrities, but I just thought about how shitty it must be to like lose everything in a fire and all your, you know, the things that we regard as being like part of our personality, the stuff that we really regard as important for our ID, for our place in the world, the things that have been collected over years, and little things. I mean, old Paris Hilton, who she's not even one of those people I think about anymore, and I wouldn't even really call her a celebrity because she's sort of settled down and she's become much less whorish, and she's got the kids, and she was saying that the children's art was on the fridge and in the kitchen and it's all burnt down and she can never remake that, right?
Yeah, the sentimental stuff they can never get back. I think also in the same breath, it's almost like, ah, oh, celebrity. Oh, I don't know if I can relate to you going through this tough time because you have another house. And a lot of people have lost their one and only home, the home that they grew up in. Kim Kardashian's getting a lot of backlash for like hiring a private fire brigade to save her house. And it's like, well, if you had the money, I would also do it. So I'm like team Kim Kardashian for the first time. And it's one of those things really puts into perspective what is important and what's not.
Yeah. And it's not like your big house in Malibu or in Calabasas or wherever the Kardashians live. And we've seen all these places. You know, the thing about LA is that even if you've never been there, you still know that these places exist and that they're real people that are there because you've seen them all on TV, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of feel like you know them even though you don't. It's a very weird thing.
And also the updates are happening in real time. People are like, oh my gosh, like Kim Kardashian, are you okay? And then she'll reply like on Instagram, I'm fine, this or that, whatever. You really do have this false perception that you're going through this natural disaster with them and you're checking in on your favorite influencers and they're like, I'm not okay, I lost everything. So, yeah.
I see Carl is as sensitive as ever. If my house burnt down, I'd be relieved to lose all of my kids' art. I feel bad when I throw it away and the kids get upset. This would be perfect. all right. We've got some sound issues, but apparently we've got some echoes and things going on. Jean says, burning platform? Well, we put that on hold in honor of what's going on, just to kind of in solidarity with the people in California. There's so much other stuff in the news too. I don't know. Did you guys see any of the stuff about the ANC's like birthday party and the celebrations that were going on there? Can we just pause for a minute and talk about that? They still do these things, and worse than still doing these things, I saw. There was video that obviously because there's social media now, these things leak out, right? So you see all these people in their, what they call their regalia. So all of the ANC fucking t-shirts and just these horrible, you remember those horrible leather jackets that they have in the ANC? Yes. That are like, those, yeah. And the people in the ANC consider them to be really, really cool. They think they look amazing, even though we all think they look stupid. And they waste so much money, these ANC guys. This is like people rolling up in G-Wagons and spending money on expensive bottles of alcohol. And it's also like conspicuous consumption, just gross. It's like this is new money. It's just tacky. It's wasteful. They spray the champagne all over each other. I don't know what they're celebrating because this crew now have reduced the ANC to their lowest rating ever. Like the average South African hates them more than ever, and less South Africans like them than ever before. They shouldn't be celebrating. And then apparently Fikile Mbalula, because they did something on Robben Island, which is almost, I think, a little kind of sacrilegious, if there is such a word that can apply to the ANC, because they like whatever they did on Robben Island, it's gross probably compared to what Robben Island should be treated like, right? It's like one of our national, it's one of our spaces in this country. It's one of the places in South Africa that people from all over the world want to go to because there's so much deep and powerful and tragic meaning attached to it. But these sons of bitches, like Fikile Mbalula, he won't go there on the ferry, which by the way is terrible and they need to give it some attention because they also haven't been looking after Robben Island. So Fikile Mbalula, not to be outdone, he gets on a private yacht that a friend in inverted commas, I want to know who these people are, right? Like these rich people who help these politicians to do things that they could never afford. These guys, we must call out. And he gets on this dude's yacht. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a fancy, smart boat. It's one of those ones that you see drunken celebrities in December, like, or even not celebrities, just ordinary oaks from like four ways. They hire the boat for the weekend. They like garden. Then they park the boat there in Clifton, and then they jump off and get back on, and they think they're in, I don't know, the Mediterranean or something. I think they're off Juan-les-Pins or something. So Fikile arrives on this boat, right, because he's too special and he's very important now, and some rich friend is like paying for it, apparently. Who knows? He might have even chartered the thing, because he's so image-obsessed, that dude. And then there's this huge shitstorm that breaks out about how he should have used the ferry and kind of stuff I agree with. But you must not try to teach these guys in the ANC to not spend their or other people's money. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they are experts. They have PhDs in spending money that is not theirs, because that's all they've done for the past 30 years. That's all they do.
But like, maybe that's what they're actually celebrating deep down. You know, we can't comprehend this because we have morals and values and we believe in other people. But maybe that's actually what they're celebrating. You know, like that scene from The Italian Job when they steal the gold in the beginning and they all get to that place in the Alps and they're all drinking champagne. That's the ANC thing every time. It's like, guys, for another year, we've actually managed to do this. We're useless sons of bitches, but we still have all this stuff. So that's actually a really great reason to celebrate.
Well, Slippery Pickle says that boat was only a 36-foot boat, like a Bayliner or something. It's about as cheap as yachts go, so kind of embarrassing. Judas says, yes, the luxury yacht ride. Fikile Mbalula should be ashamed. How much sucking went on from Cape Town Harbor to Robben Island? Oh, Carl's busy correcting me here. Gareth, I think 2025 is the year you learn the difference between fewer and less. It's been too long now. Can you count it? Then it's fewer. Okay. Got you. All right. One day, you know, I pride myself in being more or less decent on most kinds of language issues, especially when it comes to English. But this is never going to be one that I'll absolutely get right. In fact, I had a girlfriend who used to correct me on that. And the use of me and I. You know, sometimes you say, Simpiwe and I went to the shops. And she used to say to me, no, that's wrong. It should be Simpiwe and me went to the shops. I could never figure that out.
I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Yeah, I thought so too. But
it sounds like
at the time, she was very pretty, so I kind of paid attention.
I stopped. She's probably wrong, but you were right to be with her.
She's probably wrong. Yeah, that's why she's an ex, Gareth, says Lee.
I was always taught in school that the I must go at the end because it's not about you.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. If only more people applied that, not just in grammar, but in everything.
Yeah. Because people always say me and this. People always say me first. And all my English teachers in school is like, it's not about you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Me.
So Bushveld Butz says, and Ben, we want some comment from you on this. Former Springboks coach Pieter de Villiers joined the MK party. It seems like he's desperate to be relevant. Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what Bushveld Butz said.
What's he going to do there?
I don't know.
He'll give help to this Minister of Sports or something. You know, there's always something to do.
Yeah, but in MK, I mean, they're not part of the GNU. Nobody really wants anything to do with them.
Yeah, sir. Shame. This guy got a bit of a... He got a rough ride here. I mean, he was ultimately the Springbok coach. And from there, he fell so hard. Last I heard, he was coaching the deaf rugby team. No one gave him a job after that. It was really, really unfortunate. He was put into this position. Nice enough guy. I think there could have been something there, but like he couldn't get a job anywhere. And the MK now, sheepers, that's a confirmation of it's now over here.
If he just gets rid of the pedo moustache, he could probably get more jobs. Don't laugh, Simpiwe. I know you know what I mean. Like a pedo moustache is a real thing.
Yeah. You mustn't look dangerous. You mustn't look, you know.
But hang on a second. He was actually part of the good party. So he's been in this. Oh, shame.
Yeah,
he's
been messing around with politicians for a while.
Yeah, he wants the money. He's in it for the money. I don't know how much MP is offering, but everyone's jumping ship. So Must be nice, that's
all right, well, let's get into some stuff here because Cape Town, where I am at the moment, and I'm flying back today, but Cape Town's just been voted best city in the world. I mean, this comes up every now and then, right? So it's a thing that Cape Town claims. I've only ever had a phone stolen in Cape Town, nowhere else. So this is, of course, by Time Out magazine, surpassing cities like New York, London, Melbourne. It ranks Cape Town because of the city's stunning landscapes, vibrant culture, and economic growth. Also, it acknowledges significant crime issues. Okay, so they talk about, you know, my phone. That's the whole reason I brought that up. It's just me.
I got shot. Don't ever forget, I got shot in Cape Town.
You did. That's true. Tell people the story in case they've forgotten.
No, I can't keep telling the story, but I got shot. The guy shot me with a fucking R5 rifle, hit my shoulder. I'm still alive. Fuck you.
That's very South African, hey? You're like, this is a good story. This is one you bring out whenever your international friends are around. You're like, oh, you know, crime's really bad in New York. Like, yeah.
Nice. When people say crime's really bad in Joburg, how do you live there? It's like, I came here to be safe.
Yeah, exactly. And then that dude shot himself.
Who shot himself?
No, Ben's been through the wars, man. I mean, the guy's got stories.
He shot himself. What are you talking about?
No, he didn't shoot. Your flatmate or whatever, the guy killed himself.
Yeah, he killed himself, but that was with a knife.
Okay, with a knife, even worse. Even worse. You know how messy that is? So, yeah, so you know, there's some...
Yeah, you guys are real trauma. Yes.
Before I tell you Cape Town story, Lee says, I'm not a fan of Cape Town, honestly. I think George, Knysna, Nature's Valley has much more to offer. Cape Town has a flat mountain that you pay through your ass to hike on. Joburg by the sea you can't swim in. Listen, this place is pretty spectacular. There's a lot going on here. Cape Town is an international travel destination. People never go, I'm going to Joburg. But they do, if they're coming to South Africa, say, I'm going to Cape Town, right? And I'm always the first to, like, knock Cape Town from side to side. We went out on Wednesday night. We spent the day doing work, and everybody's tired. Then we all went out for supper. And then, like, a bunch of us decided, no, we're not going to be boring. We're going to go out and see what we can find. Anyway, we went out and nothing was open. I mean, we weren't going to go into town because we're actually in sort of Newlands, Claremont, that area. So we weren't going to go into town because that's a bit of a schlep. But we did find a sports bar, Ben, which was brand new. It looked like... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be rude, but it looked a bit like sort of a something you might find in Lagos, right? But we ended up, there were about four of us, and we ended up having a really fun time. Like, we took over the music, which was funny. And we were drinking shots, and it was fun. We ended up spending, like, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours there, and then eventually everybody decided it was probably a sensible idea to go and get some sleep. But even on a dry night like that, a Wednesday, we still managed to find something to do. And there are cities in South Africa where you definitely won't. You know?
I think Cape Town deserves all the credit. If none of us had been to Cape Town and went for the first time, we'd blow our minds. We'd be like, wow, this place is so incredible. And we only mostly give it shit because Cape Townians are mostly dickheads. And I'll say that because I'm from there and I can. It's like using the N-word. I can say that about Cape Townians. So I think it deserves all the credit. It really does. It is a phenomenal place. And you said it, like, it's an international destination. So it's quite cheap when you consider it. You travel anywhere in the world, you pay out your ass for stuff. Cape Town is still affordable.
So when we were out having drinks, the one guy said that the world's number one rated restaurant is here in the Cape. It's a place called Wolfgat. I don't know where it is. I don't know a whole lot of detail. Yes, Wolfgat is like the number one culinary destination in the world at the moment. And Cape Town has about, I don't know, three or four on the top 20. So it's become you know, for like prawn braais on the beach, that kind of thing. Fish dishes, our meat is very good. So South Africa is batting out of the park on that front. And if you think about it, that's what some people, you know, like really rich people in America or Europe, they'll get on a plane and they'll fly somewhere just to try the restaurant that's been rated number one by some magazine or some website. And they will. They'll spend an absolute fortune. Well, in our currency, it feels like a fortune. But to them, it's not that much. And they get tremendous value for money. So I'm happy for Cape Town. The old me might have gone, ah, fuck you, Cape Town. You don't deserve any credit. But I think if someone's running a little restaurant, I mean, there's this guy, Jan, who started these restaurants. I think he's got one in Joburg in Cape Town. He might even have two here. And he's opened one up in Amsterdam. I mean, this guy is kicking ass and taking numbers. It just shows you can start off with an idea. And everybody dreams of, you know, making tons of money. But building a brand from scratch is totally possible in this era. And if you just really pay attention to the details and you're good at what you do and you love it and you do it better than anyone else, you can build a little, you know, empire of your own out of Cape Town or wherever. Maybe not PE, but almost anywhere. Patrick says, I'm Cape Townian. I left 9 years ago at 30. I'm in PE now. I can't deal with, for starters, traffic. And whilst infrastructure's down, it's like Cape Town in the late 90s. I pissed out of Cape Town 9 years ago, says Patrick. First 30 years of my life, there was enough. Also a Cape Town hater. And hey, I'm from there, so I can be a hater, like Ben.
Yeah. Gareth, I need to correct you. I mean, it's one thing you have the profile picture fraud on this show, but Wolfgat is not in Cape Town. It's in Paternoster.
Well, I said the Western Cape, Ben.
You said Cape Town. This is the greatest restaurant.
There are some of the Cape Town restaurants.
But when you're in Cape Town, you have access to places like Paternoster, which is great. It's like a really great day out. Of a drive off the West Coast. West Coast is beautiful. And the thing about Cape Town is you get the West Coast and then you get the other coast, which is also just absolutely spectacular because you go into the Garden Route. There is so much. It is beautiful.
Yeah, Slippery Pickle says Cape Town would be perfect if the people weren't there. That's great. All right. Quite cheap. Fuck right off. You can literally take a family of four to Mauritius for a week, for less than a week, weekend for two in Cape Town. Yeah, but like if you're spending in dollars or pounds, dude, that's what I'm talking about.
No, not your ass, Carl. Cheap as Carl.
Yeah, Carl.
You're the right guy. Right.
Yeah, full of ideas. Everything in Pater Noster is number one, says Janine. It's a beautiful place. All right, and then Dr. Robin chiming in. For all the tea in China, I wouldn't live in Cape Town again. Too many, too much. Well, listen, I know that If you have money in Cape Town, it's a marvelous place, right? If you don't have money, it's a shithole. And the same goes for so many places in the world. London, New York, they're amazing cities if you've got lots of cash. If you don't have money, hellholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But people must stop this whole thing. Like, I don't want to live in Cape Town. I don't want to live in Cape Town. So I've stopped looking at it like a place I want to live at. I like visiting. Mm-hmm. I'm there next weekend. I'm going to go spend two nights there. I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah. If you visit, I always say it's great mistress and a terrible wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you always say, and, Gareth.
Janine also brings up that Cape Town has that La Colombe, which is amazing. That's where they pour the dry ice smoke all over your food and these little things and they kind of explode in your mouth. And it's like, it's all this incredible. I'm not a foodie, so I don't know this shit like most people would. But I think if you are a foodie, that's enough to get you here in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, phenomenal place there, La Colombe. It's in Constantia, which is in Cape Town, Gareth. So, yes, it totally qualifies.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for the geography lesson. You know, Ben, actually, I have something for you here. The first rule of condescending club is really kind of complex, and I don't think you'd understand it even if I explained it to you. All right. So there's the cat. Which cat's that?
That is Luna.
Okay.
She's watching the door because Hopkins' girlfriend always comes in the morning and tries to steal the food. So she's...
Jeez, that girlfriend of Hopkins is a hell of a... She's very, very... Fuerupiva in Afrikaans, we would say. All right, let's take a look at some other things. Simpiwe, you want to talk about the stationery list for 2025? Because we kind of mentioned this the other day on the show. And I remember that we would go shopping and my mom would say, all right, well, this is all the little stuff on the list that the school wants you to buy. But I've always been stationery obsessed. So we'd walk out with a whole lot more. And then she'd be kind of like, you don't need this shit. But I love that stuff. I mean, I've still got cupboards of crap at home that I'll never use. Yes. Notepads and envelopes and shit. But what's on the list for 2025? What do kids have to buy now when they go to school?
I don't know when this took place because just like you, Gareth, I also remember a time where we were just buying notepads and notebooks and pens.
Crayons.
You know! Glue, scissors, that is stationery that you need for the year. It makes sense. Now, on the stationery list for 2025, it seems like schools are like, hey, we want pine gel and handy andy, and they want facial wipes, 2-ply toilet paper. Some schools even take it a step further. They want rice and 2 kg of chicken and 20 rand of electricity. This is what parents have to buy now.
Okay, so this is if the school is asking you for chicken and rice at the beginning of the year, but that's a one-off. What is that? A staff party or something? That's what that is.
I don't know. But why are kids buying pine gel and handy andy and cleaning stuff?
And what
stuff?
Is pine gel used for again?
It's a cleaning thing. It's like a green cleaning.
I know what it is. I know how it smells. But what does it do?
It's to clean surfaces. So I'm asking myself, what cleaning are the kids doing now? Why are we buying
And if they were actually being put to work, that would be a good thing, right, Ben?
What kind of school is this? Is this like one of those self-starters? It's like, well, you guys can be shareholders now.
It's
a government school, private.
It's a government school, but it seems like it's happening at multiple schools. Moms and dads and parents have just like posted, hey, but now why am I buying pine gel? And if you do the math, right, one class, so there's 30 kids in one class, that's what, 30 pine gels, and they're asking for 5 liters that are this. And that's just
Do you think these teachers are like maybe stocking up for their own houses and they're like, let the kids buy, the kids' parents buy this stuff for us?
I think so. I'm horrified at this. If this is where, you know, stationery lists is heading, I don't want to be part of it. I don't understand. Yeah, and the schools haven't explained why they have to buy pine gel and cleaning stuff in general, because I thought school fees took care of that part.
Yeah, exactly. Andile says this list is ridiculous. Bitcoin Boot says the stationery list for Sims in 6 years' time will be one Apple laptop, one Apple watch.
It's crazy. Guys, no. I'm protesting now. Like, what?
Carl reckons it was Nomvula Mokonyane who put the stationery list together because, remember, they bribed her with that box of meat. So she's asking for chicken and rice.
Guys, no, I'm shook it to the core.
Dave wants to know, Sims, what's happened to this pine gel thing? Is Vim not good enough?
I know you've upgraded. No. I've been in my cleaning era for a while. I can tell you what's in pine gel. It has that thing. It does the job. It has that scent of, yeah, the house has been cleaned. You use it for the floors. You use it for the cupboards. Some people take it a step further, use it maybe for the windows. I don't. There's other products for that.
Okay.
But, you know, you can spring clean the house with pine gel.
Parents should be buying this stuff for the school. I don't think so. Bronwyn says, my son's school last year demanded and hounded us for 4 rolls of toilet paper per term. My son, who refuses to poo at school, doesn't even use the toilet paper.
Exactly. That's so unfair.
Oh, man. Cut me a piece of sunlight loaf and I'll do the laundry, says Dave. All right, so this is getting expensive for parents, is what you're telling me.
Yes, on top of like buying the pens and whatnot, now you're buying food and you're buying cleaning stuff for the school. Absolutely ridiculous.
I just remember those crayons, and they were like a major expense. Those crayons that you would turn the little thing at the end.
Oh, 10-ups.
And that, you remember those?
Yes, it's 10-ups. That's what they're called. Mm,
those are the ones.
I still have them.
Oh, you still have them? Well, you're going to need them when your little girl grows up. But I mean, crayons were, yeah, if your school, here's a warning. I know we've got very low standards of education. There's been a lot of talk about matrics and the matric results in the last few days and how stupid our matrics are. And they are. But if you're in high school and they're still asking you to buy crayons, you're probably in a very dumb school.
Yes. Your kid's not so special.
No. Then you should be embarrassed.
Imagine.
Then they like. Then you may be in a special needs rather than a special school. All right, Ben, what's going on in the world of sport?
Yeah, it's a good weekend, Gareth. We got UFC, we got Investec Champions Cup, we've got the Premier League. Let's start with the Premier League because Manchester United have rocketed up to 12th on the log. They beat the worst team last night, 3-1, Southampton. So, I mean, obviously, Man United fans think that the world has now changed because they beat Arsenal in the third round of the FA Cup. Arsenal strategically don't need to play in the Cups this year because they're just focusing on the league. So, maybe a hollow victory, but they'll take whatever they can get. But this weekend, we've got Newcastle is still doing pretty well. They're about to try to get a top four spot. They're taking on Bournemouth. Brentford, who drew with Man City, they're taking on Liverpool. Liverpool are still on top of the log. If you go into your studio there, you'll see James is still very excited about this. This is the high point of James's life right now, the fact he's still a Liverpool supporter. Arsenal will be beating Aston Villa at 7:30 on Saturday. They are still second. They're in the slipstream, just waiting to pounce on Liverpool once their 75 players come back from injury. That would be awesome. And then Sunday, Nottingham Forest is the surprise story this year that keeps getting better and better. They drew with Liverpool this week. Of course, they beat them earlier in the season. They're taking on Southampton, who are absolute dog shit. They will be playing in much poorer situations next year. So if you are playing for Southampton now and you're currently dating a 9 or a 10, you're going to be in with the 7s and 6s next year in the first division, unfortunately. Everton, they'll be taking on Spurs. They'll be at 4. And Man United will be taking on Brighton at home. Huge game here for Man United. I don't think they're going to win that one, but it's a really big stepping stone to try and win something proper at home. And Brighton's still a decent team. And then Ipswich will be taking it all against the chin against Man City at 6:30 on Sunday. So, rugby. Now, the Investec Champions Cup is a thing that the South African teams aren't so great at just yet because we're playing against very established, very hardened, seasoned squads from Europe. So it's the best French guys, the best English guys. We already play against the best Irish, but they're very, very prime for this tournament. But all our teams have to do is get into the last 16. So there's three pools currently. I'll run you through those now. Sorry, there's four pools. Pool one, the Sharks are currently in fourth place. Because Ulster and Exeter are so shit, all the Sharks need to do this weekend is just get the solitary bonus point, and then they go through to the last 16. Unfortunately for the Bulls, they have not done very well in this tournament. They have lost all three of their games in the Champions Cup. They do take on Stade Francais this weekend. They've got 0 points, so it really doesn't matter. They're out of the tournament, but they do need to win this game on Saturday and win quite handsomely because, you know, they want to sort of get through. Look, if they beat Stade Francais by a huge amount of points, they can maybe get through, but I don't see it happening. A good win there just for momentum and just for Gies. And then the Stormers, they won 14-0 last week, which is quite something. And they are taking on Racing 92 in Racing 92, which is Paris. So this is the Olympic swimming last year at the Paris Olympics. The pool was in the Racing 92 stadium. Now, Racing has Owen Farrell back from injury, so that's a real big boost for them. And the Stormers too. Like, if they can just win this game, they'll go through to the final 16. Of course, all of our teams will then lose that match because that's when it gets really, really difficult. But still, you know, it's good rugby to watch. And I think that's another cool thing about this tournament is that it exposes us a lot more to Europe's best because we don't often watch the Six Nations. for various reasons, but you know, there's a lot going on there. And it's nice to have this background so that when we get to the World Cup and we beat the Northern Hemisphere teams, we know who those guys are who are crying. So always good to watch more, always good to get exposed to more. And if you are a big fan of them, so the Bulls, Stade Francais at 3. I know it's the wrong time of January to spend any money, but if you are a Loftus faithful, you know, just have one Brandy and Coke this week rather than the 7. You know, we can get through this. Support the team. Support the team. Everybody likes to watch the top team. So Leinster will be taking on Bath at 7:30 on Friday. Sorry, Saturday. The Stormers, as I said, they'll be playing against Racing 92. They'll be at 10 o'clock on Saturday for the late game. And then Sunday, Bordeaux Bergers will be hosting the Sharks at 3. And then the team everyone loves to watch because of Anton Dupont and all the other good guys, that's Toulouse. They are taking on Leicester at 5:15. So as I mentioned, that we are heavy into the UFC this weekend. It's UFC 311. So it'll be in California. That stadium the arena hasn't burned down. So by all
accounts, okay, good. I was going to say, yeah,
they're not going to be fighting in the embers, but the action will be hot though.
Can we have any more puns?
Yeah, they'll still come thick and fast. So the thing about it, like MMA in general, is that people don't like to watch the grapplers. They don't like to watch the guys who do all the struggle cuddles and ground pounds, that kind of stuff. So when traditionally you saw the guys from Dagestan and all the stands where you basically grab around bears and not women, the fighting is a bit ugly. But the guys now have evolved their techniques and styles and matchups so much that these guys are actually really exciting. So when you look at the card and you see Islam Makhachev versus Arman Tsarukyan, those kind of fighters a few years ago might have been a bit boring, but these guys, they are so evolved now. I mean, Islam is the lightweight champion. His striking is so great. His last fight against Dustin Poirier in particular proved that. And then Arman Tsarukyan, he has fought Islam before and lost. Oh, my cats are fighting. You can't make this up. So that'll be the main fight. And these oaks, Islam's going to win. He is just so polished. He, of course, was Khabib Nurmagomedov's protege.
It's like when you start talking about UFC, your cats start fighting in the background.
No, well, Luna was there. Then Hopkins jumped on the table, and all happening. So the main fight, Islam Makhachev, he is going to win that one, I feel. But this Arman Tsarukyan, he's a real hard bastard from Armenia. That'll be a really great fight. And then the co-main event is Merab Dvalishvili. He'll be taking on Umar Nurmagomedov, who is Khabib's cousin. And not great personalities. This will probably be a more boring fight. It'll be a slugfest because these guys like to get down and dirty. But there's also a pretty hard all-round, really. So that'll be from, I'd say, 4:05 in the morning. And it's definitely worth watching. Of course, UFC 312 next month in Sydney. That's the one we all want to watch because Drickus fights again against Sean Strickland. So that's a big thing to look out for. And then obviously the SA20. I went to the game last night. Unfortunately, it got rained out. The Joburg Super Kings did bloody well with the ball. They literally strode to the crease. And as they got to it, it pissed down and hasn't stopped until, a few hours ago. But this weekend, I mean, these SA20 games are good. They really are good. I mean, as I said on the Bounce Show this week, you know, India has come in and they've rented South Africa for a full month. And they do a really good job with what they've got. You know, they take over our stadiums, they take over our game, and it's a good show. Like, it really is. And it's something to be really proud of as a sports fan. So, you know, as a sports fan also, like, get involved, because if you don't go to the stadiums, the players won't care and the players won't come. And then SA20 will become like Joburg City Center. It was once great, but now it's nothing. We're all going to play our part is where I'm going with this. So tonight, Durban Super Giants versus the Sunrisers Eastern Cape. That'll be at 5:30 in Durban, which is still standing. You know, if you didn't know what Durban is and you watch the shots, you go, oh, this place isn't so bad. See, because sports shines a light on what is possible. And Saturday, Pretoria Capitals versus Paul Royals at 1 o'clock. So by all counts, the weather will get better here in Gauteng. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. There might be a hint of sunshine. And Pretoria Capitals, of course, play at Centurion, which is probably one of the greatest places to drink a beer in this whole country. Grass banks, Bryce smoke, you know, laughing kids. It's a great day out for so many. And, of course, if you catch the ball with the one hand, you get a chance to win your share of $2 million with Betway. Because, you know,
wow. They play
the party with these things. And it's fun. Then MI Cape Town will be taking on the Joburg Super Kings at 5:30 in Cape Town on Saturday. And then Sunday, we've got the Sunrisers, Eastern Cape versus the Durban Super Giants again. So much sport, as you would imagine. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year to get outdoors and support this rugby all through the day, Saturday, Sunday, and the crickets. And then, yeah, if you really like the UFC or the football, just a great weekend.
All right, so two quick things. Someone wanted me to pronounce the name of someone in the UFC, not Ruben Amorim, it's Merab Dvalishvili.
Yeah, the Georgian bantamweight champion.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much, Ben. But more importantly, we didn't mention, because James brought us the results on Monday, his team Liverpool beat Accrington Stanley by 4-0. Do you remember Accrington Stanley? We were talking about them just a week ago. Right, so Ben introduced them to us. I'm deciding, slowly but surely, they're going to become my team, Accrington Stanley. They didn't do very well there. But apparently there was an ad for milk or something that was made back in the, I don't know, like 70s, a long time ago. We've got a clip from it here. I'll play it for you. And then you can see how Accrington Stanley has been a part of people's lives for much longer than we thought. So go ahead, James, play that for everybody.
The most frequently imitated.
I want to be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley. Accrington Stanley, who are they? Exactly.
18 years on, Carl Rice visited Accrington Stanley Football Club today, enjoying renewed media attention. It reminded him of the good old days.
Every single person that I'd walk past would recognise me from one advert.
Anyway, yeah, we don't have to play the whole thing, but that guy...
...the most frequently imitated.
I want to be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley.
All right. Yeah, Accrington Stanley. Yeah.
So, Gareth, I've got some bad news. Accrington Stanley are currently 19th in the English League Two table, so they're not. I don't think they'll be rising up the Premier League anytime soon. But they have won their last two games.
Ben, I don't care. I don't mind backing a loser on this one if their name is as good as Accrington Stanley.
Wow. That should do a whole
Shame. I kind of feel sorry for that guy that they had in the ad, because he's a little kid in the ad, and then they go, 18 years later, he enjoyed coming out with his scarf on for the first time in ages and remembering the good old days. I'm like, how old? He was a kid there, so he's what, like in his 20s? First of all, the guy's like terrible hairline for someone in his 20s, but let's just say, how do you know that was the highlight of his life? He still had so much ahead of him, that dude.
He was on TV.
So, Gareth, apparently for that ad, I think he was paid £10. Oh. Like usage, everything. Just he was given £10 and a roll of boiled sweets. And that was probably it.
Well, I mean, you told us Accrington Stanley's whole lineup is what, like £3.2 million?
Yeah.
Peanuts.
Unbelievable. Bitcoin Butt says you should stop talking cuck, Ben. Centurion will rain out again. No one will win the money.
Okay. I don't think that's quite the attitude to go into the weekend with.
Yeah, very poor form. And then Signet just saying, Gareth, try supporting Scunthorpe United.
No, but it's Scunthorpe. You don't pronounce the TH, it's with an F.
Scunthorpe United. Isn't Scunthorpe United Posh Spice's favorite team?
Scunthorpe, yeah.
Yeah, I think
Well, you know, if you're going to go support a team like Scunthorpe United, they're going to have very dirty songs about pretty much everybody.
Oh, definitely, without doubt. All right, so let's quickly, because we've got Gord coming in at 7, but I do want to get to one or two quick things. We've got to talk about that Brad Pitt, the fake Brad Pitt that duped this woman out of 16 million rand, because that's unbelievably stupid, but she fell for it. I mean, obviously this woman, you know, if Brad Pitt is hitting on you online and asking you for money, you something in you has got to go, ooh, bit suspicious. No matter how big your fantasy, it just shows you how people would rather believe the fantasy than the reality, even when it's obviously nonsense. And then we've got to talk about Mark Zuckerberg, because it seems to me like Mark Zuckerberg has done a 180-degree turn, and he's realized like the lie of the land. He always realizes it later than everyone else. I mean, that's kind of why he stole the idea for Facebook from those Winklevoss twins or whatever. And everything Mark Zuckerberg has ever done is like at least a year or two behind everyone else who's really at the forefront. But he gets there very quickly and he changes his position and he's like a chameleon. But what the hell's happened to him? Because suddenly he gave one instruction just a couple of weeks ago. Now all the tampons have been removed from the men's bathrooms at Meta. They were very woke before. Now they're not woke at all. So what's happened to Mark Zuckerberg?
Testosterone levels. He's unsoyed himself.
Reckon?
Guys, it's as simple as that. And, you know, when you talk about this kind of stuff, people then talk about conspiracy theories. But if you look in the last, we've talked about this endlessly, but if you look at the last 10 years, there's all these efforts to make men more soyish, to make them emasculated, all that kind of crap, which then makes them compliant, it makes them weak, it makes them follow the shit that's trying to be dealt to them. And Mark Zuckerberg was a great example of that. I don't know who's in charge of the world, but think about it. They soyed a guy who was in charge of the biggest social media platform in the world, okay? Because that's a really good strategic play to soy society. And then he started doing like jiu-jitsu and all these kind of things. He had an operation. He had to have a huge amount of growth hormone pumped into him and steroids because he had to recover. And then when he woke up from this thing, suddenly he's like an actual guy. And that's why the things turn around so quickly. That's why you see him talking about masculinity is good now, because the guy's finally got some testosterone running through his brain. It's that simple. It really is. There's nothing more to look at it. Look at everyone who's an absolute shit in life. Like, look at Bill Gates, low testosterone levels. I can tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute shit. And look at people who are doing something with their lives. High testosterone. It's how men should function.
So in other words, if a guy has low testosterone, he's probably a weakling and he's going to kowtow to all the nonsense and he'll fall for all the bullshit, whatever's trending. But if he's got some testosterone, he's going to be able to stand his ground, make things happen, bring, Yeah, I mean, look, he looks like he's way less lizardy in that picture.
He's never been more human because he's unsoyed himself.
So what's the opposite of that? I mean, like, how do these people, do they just stop eating meat? Is that why we call them soy boys? What's the whole story there?
It is, Gareth. There's a variety of things. Like, you know, you're at a desk, you're not getting sunlight, you're not doing normal fucking things like being outdoors, you're not exercising. Yeah, and it does come down to diet and all those kind of things. The whole, like, soyification of men in the last 10 years, I think it's been very strategic.
You think they've been doing it on purpose?
Absolutely.
Lee reckons it's the hair. Yeah, it's like Samson. Once he's grown his hair, he's fine. He removed the tampon from up his own ass. Women have more testosterone than some men these days, says Azalea.
Exactly, Azalea, because it's been a plan. It doesn't just happen overnight because everybody wants a different hairstyle. This has been drummed into the system.
He looks so cool.
Well, when you say so cool, like, Sims, don't get carried away here.
No, but he looks cool.
He's still got the lizardy eyes. There's still a lot of work to be done, but he does look better. And I think he's also doing a bit more physical exercise and maybe not like listening to everything his wife tells him to do.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm just saying, if he was like at the coffee shop or whatever, sitting there, I think he would be able to gain some attention. He just looks like a guy who's like, I'm wearing a shirt with a chain, my hair's done. Like, he just, oh, that's a cool dude, I'll talk to him, you know. That's what I mean. Like, he looks so much better. I like this for him. This is nice.
So Bitcoin Butch, who's, it's all in the name really, says an interesting story about the Winklevoss twins. They went all in on Bitcoin when they got paid out by Zuckerberg back in 2014. They are winning in life.
So the thing with them is that they were trying to become venture capitalists, but nobody actually wanted their money. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to buy Bitcoin.
Brilliant. I mean, that's so clever, because obviously, look at where they are now.
It all worked out for everybody. Zuckerberg became a human. They became billionaires.
Yeah. Happy day. So the world is getting better now. Donald Trump gets inaugurated on, what is it, Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
Yes, it is. Right. My God, the 20th. And that's at what sort of South African time, 7 o'clock in the evening. So if you're a major fan, then you may want to watch that. Probably it's going to be the greatest inauguration. There'll be more people than at any other inauguration. There are going to be billions and billions and billions of people.
Just another step to unsoying the world.
Yeah, not bad. Carl says, I asked AI to draw me a pic of Zuckerberg in his car's trunk. I dubbed it Puss in Boots. Very good. Very good. And apparently Trump is even using, you know, that mugshot that they took when they arrested him? He's using that in all of his corporate communications now because he looks like such a badass in it.
Oh, my word.
That guy's funny.
I love that move. No, that's cool.
He's the kind of guy you want to spend time with because he'll make you laugh. He's just something so cool about that guy.
Well, at Jimmy Carter's funeral the other day, he even made Obama laugh. And, you know, everybody who says he's Hitler and he's going to bring back the Third Reich and he's such a dangerous man, all of those people were sitting with him. I mean, it's fair to say that Kamala ignored him. Because I think she's still a little bit sore after the election. Yeah, and Hillary ignored him. But then that's not surprising. But he's sitting next to Barack Obama, and he turns to Barack, and he says something to him, and Obama starts laughing. And I'm like, you know what? This is all just bullshit. They just put it on for the cameras. They don't actually hate each other. And Trump is funny. I'm pretty sure that whatever he said to Obama was actually probably hysterical. So I think he would be entertaining to be around. But I want to quickly talk about this woman who was like trapped or caught by a fake Brad Pitt. Sims, just like, you know the whole story here because I only read the headline of this thing and I thought, oh God, not another one. What happened?
Oh, ish. So the lady in question is Anne. And I have to give props to these guys that scammed her because I don't think I would have fell for this personally, but hey, I'm not Anne. The scammers used social media and AI to basically get her into a relationship with Brad Pitt, you know, and they basically told her that, hey, you know, as Brad Pitt, I don't have any money. I need money for a kidney transplant because his assets are frozen because he's still dealing with the divorce from Angelina Jolie. And baby girl was like, you know what? It's okay. I will not only just give you my money, but I will also divorce my current husband because you are and I are in this together. And she basically gave the scammers her life savings worth 16 million rand. And if you see the pictures that the guys sent her, personally, you can see it's fake. You can you can see it's just
look at the bottom right one.
And those guys, but he's in hospital.
So what did this fake Brad Pitt say, Anne, I love you in the one picture? Did this fake Brad Pitt say he needed money for medical bills?
Yes. So, I mean, they started, I think from, if I'm not mistaken, at some point, even Brad Pitt's mother messaged her to be like, you know, they love her so much and they can't wait to meet her. But right now they're dealing with this and Brad is in hospital, you know, fighting for his life. And, you know, it would really, really help if she can just, yeah, well, and even Brad is also saying, I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to be with you. But, you know, I'm in the hospital. I'm sick. I'm dying. I need the money. And boom, just like, yeah, she got scammed. And when I look at those pictures, I'm like, they're so fake. They're fake. They're not even good AI pictures. You can see that Brad Pitt.
You can even see like the one picture, the first one and the third one in the top row. They're just the same face, just turned round. It's not even like they didn't even go to any trouble here. Like if it was like a, you know, those deep fake videos you get of someone who's pretending to be like someone famous and it looks just like them, and you could kind of pick up maybe that it's not 100% It's a bit creepy. It's a bit weird. It feels a little bit like made up. But these are so bad. That, like Ben says, the bottom right is just so bad.
And you know how she found out that she got scammed? I think she sent the money and then they stopped talking, but she didn't realize that she was scammed. She only realized when there was a news headline of like Brad Pitt out with his new girlfriend. And then she was like, wait a minute, this guy's healthy. He's living his best life. Me, I'm out here broke. And that's how she realized she was scammed.
I mean, Vyasan asks a really good question here. How can someone so dumb have 16 million rand?
No, she's also a dunny. She's like in her 50s. She's old. It's, you know what I mean? Life savings. But come on now. I'm still stuck. She got a whole divorce. She was like, yeah, Vela, I didn't want you. You've been nonsense. Shame. You've been trash. I got Brad Pitt. Like, Stella got her.
Wow.
Cantino.
Oh, man. Janine says, damn it. Scamming the scammer would have been so good here. Come on, Anne. Yeah. Fuck. I don't get it, hey. Bradley from Boxburg is more like what that looks like. It's rather than Brad Pitt.
You know, but hey.
But you know, this is the problem. It's like some people, they're just so lonely and they're so desperate to be with someone. And when something like this, even though it's too good to be true, they can't help it. They're like, This is what I've been waiting for. Finally, I'm special. Brad Pitt chose me.
Guys, it goes full circle to where we started the show with the ANC celebrations, right? This is how politicians get votes. People want to believe in something. And then these guys, the scammers, the ANC, they get to celebrate with the bottle of champagne while everyone's tested. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Brad Tit says makes it. Wow, I don't know. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to let Ben go. Ben, we'll see you next week. Are you going to any sport yourself this weekend?
No, playing golf tomorrow. I got a new driver in the bag, so very excited about that. And then probably driving range Sunday. Yeah, I'll take it easy.
Don't forget, if you are going to school, you need to buy your stationery and you must buy Brad Pitt. So that you to your stationery. And we will be back, Simpiwe and I, with Gord Laws in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. Cheers.